Welcome to Sports 1140 AHDK.
Good morning, good morning.
I don't understand what the problem is here.
Put the top down.
Good morning.
Ready your engine.
Fair doesn't matter. It's stupid.
Welcome to the drive.
New morning, team.
Now shut up and drive.
Attacking run-of-the-mill morning show.
With Carmichael Dave.
But I've never played professional sports, so.
You're kidding.
You know what? Funny, I have.
Kenny Christensen.
He needs to shut his mouth.
Agreed. And Nate Goodyear.
I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator.
Here we go.
I was just entertaining the people on the morning drive.
We on a mission.
Hold on tight. With Dave. With Katie and Nate. Katie and Nate.
Drive. I am not driving no minivan.
I'm good
morning.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios.
Broadcasting live.
Why is this difficult?
Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Get ready for the show of a lifetime.
Now. Now. The Drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
Nuh-uh.
Liars.
That's a lie, voice person. It's Dave and Nate.
That's it, losers. You're stuck with us.
We tell you, honestly, we tell you the story about how she's up at her nephew's graduation, Chris Christensen. But to be honest, it just wasn't working out with Katie, so.
Yeah. We decided we'd do it on a Friday before the show.
Katie will be missing Fridays from now on.
It's going to be
Man
really,
Monday.
Yeah, man. It's going to be really awkward making those, like, halfway sexy double entendres towards you.
To each other.
And back and forth.
It's going to be like the old days. It's going to be like the old days where it's just you and me doing a show.
That's it. Is this game night fueled by sun power by Hooked on Solar?
I think so, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Jay, we have Jay here to keep us on track, but Katie's our conscience. She's the heart and soul, and she's off Katie-ing up.
Conscience in the, without reason or accountability.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. Game one of the NBA Finals, when won by 15 points or better, the team that won by 15 or more has won 11 times, has lost 2 times. So there you go. There's no other place to put this. It's the start of the show. We always do something goofy, and that's kind of what we're all about.
We almost didn't for a second, though.
For a second. And this isn't really goofy. This is sports, but I don't know if you caught this last night.
The 0-1. Swing, flare, center field. The Mariners lead. Sean O'Malley has made this a 13-12 game with 2 outs in the top of the 7th inning. And you can knock them all over with a feather. This is happening in San Diego. RBI base hit center field. Ionetta scores. The Mariners have come back. They have stormed back, and they lead it 13-12.
Remember the comments that the Padres owner made yesterday, and how they are miserable failures. Well, they're in San Diego. They're at Petco Park.
They're at home.
They're at home, and they're up 12-2. In the 6th inning, and you heard right there, Sean O'Malley with the single. This is how it ended.
Cisek trying to wrap it up the stretch, and the 2-2 on the way. Swing and a miss, strike 3, and the ball game is over. The Mariners win it 16-13 tonight here in San Diego. Their largest come-from-behind victory in the history of the franchise. The Mariners were down 12-2, down by 10. They scored 5 in the 6th, 9 runs in the 7th. What an improbable comeback, an amazing comeback tonight.
Largest comeback for the Mariners in Mariner history, largest lead blown for the Padres in Padre history. So something tells me the comments from the owner did not necessarily, although at the beginning it looked great.
I think they probably stuck around because that, to me, looks like the type of game that would happen when you have 25 grown-ass men saying, you want to see embarrassing?
Exactly. Because going into the 6th inning, I'm sure there's a lot of fans and maybe some announcers. I'd love to see if an announcer remarked, like, well, you know, maybe that Randy Fowler comment yesterday really woke up the Padres.
Sandbaggers, dude.
No,
they
no.
Went out and got, you know, I'm... not a historian here. Like, we might have to get Ken Burns or, you know, Marcos Bertone, one of those famous baseball
historian guys. Yeah.
And maybe you could remember this. But to my knowledge, Dave, there has never been a Major League Baseball team that has disbanded 2.5 months in the season. And the Padres need to consider it.
Not on purpose. Perhaps not on purpose, but I can give you some baseball history from today. On this day, in 1888, I know you're under the weather. I know that you
sell me out.
Let's pull a blanket back. No, I always think it's a great thing. Nate is not 100% today. He is gutting it out because Katie is gone, and he's just a fantastic dude. Didn't want to leave me on the island. But
I was walking into a movie when
that's not what I'm doing. Right. So you got like a massive sunburn yesterday.
Yeah.
And your air conditioner went out.
And my air conditioner went out. And I'm bruised and battered from being softball guy.
Well, ThinkBellBrothers.com.
Believe me, that was the absolute first thing I thought. Yeah. Is why can't I have that damn endorsement right now?
Well, now we're all a KHDK fan.
It's true. 6:30 is like the worst possible time. If you go 2 hours earlier, and I probably could have had someone at my house. But instead, you wait until after business hours in the absolute hottest part of the day when the sun is shining in all our windows. I'm a dead man.
You're not
playing through pain.
You absolutely are. So I'm gonna pick on you here.
Perfect.
On this day in 1988, a major day in the world of sports history. I'll narrow it down. Jay, feel free to play along. Perhaps the greatest sports poem in history was released. The greatest sports poem.
Mudville 9?
Casey at the bat.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing,
yeah,
right?
No, absolutely. Okay. You both got it. Okay. Jay got in my ear, right? I don't know if that was on
1988?
The air. 1888.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought that was like 700 years old.
Maya Angelou wrote it in 1988. 1888, Casey at the bat. The Mudville 9 was published now for the very first time.
Is it called Casey at the Bat or Mudville 9?
The official title is Casey at the Bat, a ballad of the Republic sung in the year 1888. It is a baseball poem written in 1888, just said that, by Ernest Thayer, first published in the San Francisco Examiner, then called the Daily Examiner on June 3rd. It was later popularized by DeWolf Hopper. Where are these names gone, man? DeWolf Hopper in many vaudeville performances and has become one of the best-known poems in American literature.
That's some good knowledge.
Yeah, thank you
nice
very much.
Nice nugget.
Here's another one for you that I stole from the country show today across the hall. The top 20 landmarks visited in the United States this summer that will be visited, and were visited last summer, two of them are in California.
Golden Gate Bridge.
The Golden Gate Bridge is number two, Jay Johnson. Thank you very much. Excellent job. So that is number two. What is number
Disneyland?
One? Disneyland was my guess.
AT&T Park.
AT&T Park, another good guess. Landmarks in California.
Yosemite.
Yosemite was my first guess. And I'm shocked.
Joshua Tree.
Joshua Tree is absolutely, I'm sorry.
Hollywood sign.
I said, if you said the Hollywood sign, because I had another guess, I said Walk of Stars. And in both cases, I'll give you a hint. It is in the, it is very, very, relatively speaking, it's very close to the Golden Gate Bridge. Relatively close. It's in the same area.
Alcatraz.
Thank you very much. Alcatraz is absolutely correct. Alcatraz and the Golden Gate Bridge. How about that? How about that? All right, that's your show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining
us. Monday.
Marlon Wayans, by the way, is going to be – he's coming in studio, right? Marlon Wayans in studio. I'm very, very – very excited. He is appearing at the Crest. You know, just started doing stand-up. If I remember, I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago he started going out on the road and doing stand-up. This is a dude – that is rich. He's got a new show that just got picked up by NBC, or at least got an order. You never know how that works. They say they're going to pick it up, and then maybe it gets
made. You
never know. He's going to come in and hang out and talk with us.
The Marlon Wayans.
Yeah, the Marlon Wayans.
This stuff kind of makes me just a little bit nervous, only because, first off, this is going to be my first comedian in studio.
Really?
Like, well, yeah, I've never done an interview. Like, we used to have him on the morning show, but
sure.
I'd be on the other side of the glass or whatever. So, number one, I've never actually sat here in the studio with a comedian. We all know how badly that can go when they smell blood. Okay?
Yeah. And,
like, I can sit here and make stupid comments and think that I'm hilarious when it's just you and Katie, because
sure.
that's us, right?
Sure.
It's a different ballgame when there's a professional comedian
yes.
sitting there. And the first time you say something that you think is funny and you get like a lukewarm laugh, you're like,
yeah.
oh, crap. All right.
You know what, though? If in my experience, and either talking to them in
you're
person
very
or,
good with comedians. I've never done this before.
No, it's if the best, honestly, to me, the best comedians, Robin Williams is great at this. The best comedians, they almost overlaugh at other people. They love it when other people try to be
they,
funny.
Yeah, they sell the.
They sell it completely. And they if they're not, if you even if it's not the funniest thing, If you're getting a, then well, you know, screw
right.
him. I don't think Marlon's going to come in. And Marlon's a great guy. I've never met him before.
I just don't want him to do a Colin Kane on me. That's all.
Oh.
Just,
oh.
Because that was the most savage bit of
brutality. That was a fatality, like in Mortal Kombat.
And I mean, that's it. Listen, that guy is like basically an insult comic as it is,
yes.
right? So that's
but
not
our guy
what
was
kind of
asking for
yes,
that response too. One more stat of the day nominee, and I believe this is the stat of the day. I'll give you a hint.
Bumgarner's not bunting. He swings away and hits a high drive deep into left center, way back there, on its way. Adios, pelota. Madison Bumgarner high over the 380 marker in left center, and the Giants have a 2-0 lead.
Giants went on to win the game. Madison Bumgarner, another home run. Here's your stat of the day nominee. In their last 190 at-bats, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, and Madison Bumgarner have 11 home runs.
That's a good nugget. I love it. I want Madison Bumgarner on my slow pitch team. That dude swings a bat like he's Paul Bunyan. He does not get cheated.
I know you and I are on direct opposite sides of the DH conversation. We are. You are.
I want the DH all the time.
You're Robert E. Lee. I'm Ulysses S. Grant. Or I'll be Robert E. Lee. You be the UAO. No one wants to be the bad guy. We're on opposite sides. Is Madison Bumgarner my side's best argument?
Absolutely.
That's my side's best argument.
Not even close. Yep.
I mean,
the guy's the Giants' best power hitter. He has been for 2 years. Right?
It's not like in the last 50 at-bats.
The numbers back 200 at-bats. He's as good a home run hitter in the game.
That's a third of a season.
In the whole game. What do you do?
And on top of that, and I don't know, Nate, you're a softball MVP. Jay, you play professional baseball. You're the two baseball experts. I got to imagine it's harder when those at-bats are spread out like Bumgarner's. It's
yeah.
harder to do things than if you're getting 5 at-bats a day.
Of course.
Isn't it? Of course.
I would think so.
When you're going out every 5 days, I can't imagine Trout is in Harper getting fatigued from the at-bats.
No, I think the only argument I can make is that there's a mental fatigue, much like if you play golf 5 days a week, by the end of that fifth day, you're going to have so many thoughts in your head. Like, that fifth round is very likely to be bad, and I think if you're hitting every day and going through that, there's just as much of a chance that you could get caught in the mental vortex. Whereas if you have 4 or 5 days off, you're just getting up there seeing and reacting. That's the only thing I can think.
Okay.
I'd rather take rhythm over that, though. I'd rather be in rhythm, timing, make sure your timing's correct. You know, one of the things about being a pro player that goes unnoticed is how much time you actually put in to swing in a bat. And you technically still only get to be great 3 hits out of 10. That's amazing.
That wood bat, too, man.
It's tough.
That makes it tough. I prefer aluminum.
Real? Do you?
I'm just when I'm batting.
Are you kidding me? I was a loser. I swung a wood bat all through high school because I loved the sound. I had to get pine tar all over every single stinking thing that I own.
I only prefer aluminum because the ball would go farther. Then I'm a big fat cheater.
When you're not a power hitter, it doesn't matter like this.
Exactly. Thank you. Mac Engel, columnist for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He's going to join us. Late in the 8 o'clock after Marlon Wayans is in studio, we're going to talk about the whole Baylor thing. So, yeah, we got a very eclectic show today, and we'll reveal at 7:30, right around 7:30, a very, very, very cool contest and an opportunity for you and a friend to go somewhere, I promise, this isn't radio jive here, somewhere that you're going to enjoy. Very, very. This is an awesome contest, and it's going to be a very quick contest for Monday. So stay tuned for that. When we get back, Steph Curry, Kim Kardashian, Justin Bieber, they do all have something in common other than being up 1-0 in their respective NBA Finals series. We'll tell you what that is next. It's Dave and Nate. That's so weird. On Sports 1140 KHDK. Hey, it's Flashback Friday. Oh, Queen. Speaking of Flashback Friday, I was accosting Nate.
This is a good cut from them.
That's great.
I had someone asking yesterday, sorry, dude, to derail you.
Please do.
Queen's like one of my favorite bands ever. And I had someone asking, like, hey, what's a good album? I just saw that randomly on Twitter. Night at the Opera, front to back. Do it.
The question is there a bad Queen album?
Yeah, because that's the thing about Queen is that for every like really great, awesome song they put out, holy crap, did they do some bad ones.
I mean, they did. They had a couple clunkers, no doubt about it. You know what? You can't go wrong.
They have a very broad range.
Just grab the greatest hits and set your alarm for nothing tomorrow. Just put it on.
Because there is about 50 of them.
There is. Queen was, and what was the other thing? I was messing with you. Speaking of Flashback Friday, the band Train.
Yeah.
The band Train today. Jay, you're familiar with Train? Drops of Jupiter?
Yeah, a little bit. I think we played some last week, actually.
Okay. They released a new album today. It's Led Zeppelin 2. They remade the entire album front to back.
The whole
and
thing.
It dropped today. Whoever listened to it outside, it's a fine, fine remake of Led Zeppelin. And that's not an easy, you know, there's some John Bonham drums.
They did Moby Dick, for crying out loud.
Yes, they did. It is a, I would venture to say, I think it's about as good of a remake of Led Zeppelin 2 as you could possibly have. The only question being, perhaps just go buy Led Zeppelin 2. It is available in stores.
And online.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you play, you're like, hey, listen to this. You're like, you like Zeppelin, right? It's like, yeah, man. So you start playing the song. It's like, all right, it's going to California. It's not the studio version. What is this? Yeah. And you're like, wait for it. And then you skip ahead. And I hear a drum solo. Mm-hmm. Then you skip again. I think it was Livin' Love in May. It's like, well, this is interesting. Is this like a, yeah, it's a new album, man. It's Train.
It's Train.
Like, wait, what? The
it's
album's
Train.
Called Train? Live at Train? Live on a train? No, man. Train the band.
Train the band. They just, you know, we're going to go in the studio and remake Led Zeppelin 2.
That's the kind of money I want. That and like the James Dolan money, where basically you have so much money that you can just be a musician.
Just do whatever.
And do whatever. Like, if you, like, that's what James Dolan's doing. He ain't a good musician, but he likes to play the guitar and he likes doing it. So you know what he does? He bankrolls a tour. He went out and he bought himself the best musicians in Nashville, and he's made albums.
It's kind of what Steve Martin and Martin Short are doing. I saw that they're...
Except Steve Martin and Martin Short are talented.
They're ridiculously talented. I saw they're coming on tour at Thunder Valley, right? And I know that I think Steve Martin's banjo band is playing. And here's my I'm a huge Steve Martin fan, as most of us are. And here's my thing about that. And I know this is going to sound really bad. Does anybody really go to a Steve Martin show and go, I can't wait for the banjo band to play? Like, you're just going because you love Steve Martin and you're kind of enjoying the banjo band.
Yes.
You're putting up with it. You're remarking about how amazing it is that he's really good at the banjo.
Yep.
But you'd rather see Two Wild and Crazy Guys.
Yes.
You'd rather see Steve Martin be neurotic Steve Martin or doing a skit with Martin Short. You're not going there going, yeah, I hope they don't do a lot of comedy.
Band.
Yeah. No.
Well, it's like the James Dolan thing. When he's on tour, you know who he opens for?
I know this and I can't think of it, but I've heard this. Who is it?
Jewel.
Yeah.
His blues band opens for Jewel.
Yeah, I've never really heard any of Dolan's music, so I can't. Have you given it a listen?
Yeah, I mean, it's not
the owner of the Knicks, by the way, and Comcast.
Yeah, sorry. He has a couple of songs that pass as blues rock. I mean, he's a middle-aged, rich, white dude singing the blues, like any of us like to do, right? Most of it stinks, but the guy's chasing his dreams.
So. Do most of us like to sing the blues?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Don't you?
Is he better?
Musically, the blues is really easy to play. Let me put it that way.
Is his band better or worse than Kevin Costner's band? Because
I don't
Costner
know about Kevin Costner's band.
Costner is
a
band.
Is it the wedding band that he stole off the finger of Cal Ripken's wife?
Kevin Costner actually has a band, and that I by the way, I got that. Kevin Costner has a band. Who else? Bruce Willis has a band.
So you see, and I'll bet they're all like lousy blues rock bands, right?
Because
that's the one thing. It's like death and taxes. If you are a rich, middle-aged white dude that has really never faced any problems in your life, you get to go start a blues band. It's all these people that have absolutely nothing to be blue about.
Here's Costner.
I mean, it's
Kevin Costner.
It's passable. Nothing spectacular. Nothing terrible. You could go into any band in Sacramento and hear that music.
Probably.
And be like,
but it's Kevin Costner, right?
Yeah. Is it?
I think you kind of, I mean, nah, it's live. So I think you kind of nailed it. I want to say, I believe Bruce Willis and Don Johnson both had sort of hits. I mean, I think Bruce Willis is actually weirdly like he plays the harmonica.
Okay.
Bruce Willis is sort of talented. Here's Bruce. We got a break. Here's Bruce on the harmonica. Hold on. But like you said, kind of a bluesy.
Yeah, it's just generic. Like, and there's obviously a base level of talent that goes.
Want to hear him sing? Here you go.
Oh, my God. My mother would be dripping right now.
In sweat because she was dancing so hard?
Oh, dude. Yeah. In love with Bruce Willis.
I think Bruce Willis.
He's a piece, right?
Of course he is. He and Kevin Costner and James Dolan.
See, that was actually a song I could listen to if you never told me it was Bruce Willis.
I think they should go on tour together. I saw Bruce Willis. We got a break. I saw Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis was when we were. I was in New York with my wife. We got lucky. Got tickets to David Letterman. What? It was 3 weeks before he retired.
Where did they seat you?
The worst seats.
They put
in
you
the
in the back.
House.
Did they put you in the back?
Upper. Yeah. We were. We
That's
were,
you.
We weren't
jerk.
Behind the
that
pole.
That is not on your wife.
Oh
okay?
No! Of course, it's on my dumb, ugly face. And there was a guy who was so large. He was dribbling into my seat. I mean, it was bad.
Because in case you don't know it, listener, they sort the audience according to looks.
Yes.
At the
and they saw me and went, yeah, you're up in the back. Sorry about your blonde wife.
That's so embarrassing.
Bruce Willis was the guest. It was his 64th and final appearance on the David Letterman show. The most appearances of any guest on Letterman, which I would have never, ever guessed, went to Bruce Willis. And he came out dressed exactly as he was in his first appearance, including toupee and sport coat.
No.
Yeah, exactly. We'll take a break. You want to unpack these NBA Finals?
Let's do it.
We're going to have a reaction over reaction Friday. It's a flashback Friday. Jay's got some questions for us, and we're going to do sports talk radio stuff where we go, hey, that's good, that's bad, that's ugly, that's indifferent. We'll freak out and jump to all kinds of conclusions after game one of the NBA Finals. We'll do that next. It's the Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
Ooh,
wait, who is this?
That's what he's asking.
Oh, guess the tune. I know this.
I don't.
I think I know this lick, as the kids say.
Robert Palmer, Power Station, Glenn Frey.
Oh, this is Don Johnson.
This is Don Johnson.
This is Looking for a Heartbeat.
Heartbeat.
Atta babe.
Wow.
Thank you.
Good pull.
Yes. Atta babe, Jay. This was a hit.
You're like, believe it, man.
It was. Now, you got to wait for the hook, okay? Because this is like the garbage nobody cares about. It's a hook that they built a garbage song around. This was the Miami Vice days when everyone wanted to be Don Johnson. They grew their beards out like me, but meant to.
Looking for a heartbeat. Oh, yeah.
This was huge in the 80s.
Oh, man. Ballad of a Heartbreaker.
Beating like mine. I think that's the last line. Hold on. Beating like mine. Sad that I know that, man. It's so bad. It's a flashback.
Definitely haven't done karaoke to that song.
I think you were a sperm when that song came out. I'm pretty positive. Yeah. You were
still a $40 tip to a barmaid away.
But back in the day, and I can't get lost in this, but it's Jay's fault. Back in the day, it not only was, you know, it was Don Johnson, the Ferrari, Miami Vice, the white sport coat with the pink or Miami blue undershirt, and he and the late great Glenn Frey would roll around together. They did a Pepsi commercial to the song. Oh, Christ, what was that? One of Glenn Frey's You Belong to the City.
Okay.
And that was like, there's a whole lot of getting action between these two dudes right here.
A whole lot of getting action. What 80s movie did opened up with The Heat Is On?
Beverly Hills Cop.
That's what it was. Okay.
Beverly Hills Cop. Okay. The Heat Is On.
I heard it yesterday when I was driving. I was like, I feel like I'm in a movie and I don't know which one.
Yeah, Beverly Hills Cop. The golden age of Beverly Hills Cop. But yet, that was not the biggest song from Beverly Hills Cop. The biggest song from Beverly Hills Cop was by a man named Harold Faltermeyer. Axel F. Axel F. named after Axel Foley, the lead. Okay, I got to say Sports. Something about game one. Here you go. Reality star Kim Kardashian West, basketball prodigy Steph Curry, and pop prince Justin Bieber. I'm not reading this at all when I say things like basketball prodigy. They all have something in common. Emojis. Emojis. Now, for those of you my age or older who are questionable on your tech, an emoji is like a picture you put on your text, you know, like a smiley, thumbs down, whatever. Well, Kardashian launched her updated Kimojis.
Oh.
An app full of 500-plus customized icons for $1.99. Fancy desserts. Kylie Jenner is a blonde. And Kim Kardashian's crying face. Those are examples.
That's worth $1.99.
Yesterday, Curry released his own line of Stephmojis.
Yeah.
Also at $1.99, the app quickly overtook Kardashian to win the week's emoji app battle so far. But today, Justin Bieber drops his emoji app. Which all makes me think, because I'm such a narcissist.
Where's our emoji app?
Can we get a drive emoji?
Yeah. Okay. Katie sends out those little pictures that kind of look like her.
Katie, I hate Katie. Katie does things on social media that really bother me, and they shouldn't. Katie makes up her own hashtags that mean absolutely nothing. She'll take a picture of her and her dogs on the couch. It'll be like, just lounging with the dogs, hashtag fur babies, hashtag dog love, hashtag hot summer day, hashtag wow. I do what I want. What are you doing? And we yell about it, and I shouldn't care, but I'm like, why?
I'm a non-hashtag user.
You should. The only time I ever use hashtags is as a joke.
Ironically, right?
I'll be like, I'm hanging out with Nate, hashtag man love. Like, you know, something like that, something that's stupid.
Yeah.
Game one is over. The Warriors won. The Cavs made it a game. It wasn't a total blowout until the end.
Yeah, I mean, what was it, around the third quarter or so, the Cavs made a pretty good push.
They, at one point, had the lead. In the third quarter, they were up, I think, as much as one, maybe two.
Yeah. They had a lead at 3-2, and then they got it back.
In the third quarter.
Way late in the third quarter.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It was 3-2. They came with the lead. They got that in the third quarter. It looked for a second like, well, hey, this is a physical game. Mm-hmm. The Cavs are out physicality-ing the Warriors. Maybe there's something here. Yeah. I started to kind of raise an eyebrow. No, nothing
to be seen here. It, you know, there were a couple of takeaways here. Number one, the Cavs' defense stinks compared to the Thunder. It's not even close. The Warriors had way too much space to work with, and then the Cavs had a faulty game plan. You know, not only were they given way too much space out on the perimeter, but then they were trying to trap, which. Sorry, guys. This Warriors team, you double guys, they all know how to pass. They all know how to pass. They all know how to find the open guy. If you leave a guy open, it's just going to happen. You're going to lose buckets on that.
What's interesting is the Warriors, and if you'd have told me before the game, Jay, Nate, if I said to you, hey, this is how it's going to happen. Steph and Clay are going to combine for 20 points on 8 of 27 shooting. And the Warriors and Cavs are going to shoot the exact same percentage from 3. And the Warriors are going to make 2 more threes than the Cavs. Now, I don't know about you. I'd have thought, wow, that sounds like a probable Cavs victory.
Mm-hmm.
That is a Cavs victory right there.
Almost to the point I would almost lay money on that.
I would, Jay, yeah. I would probably lay money on it too. Instead, the key stat of the game, what you're going to hear about all day long, 45-10. 45-10, the Warriors bench outscored the Cavs bench. And that right there is the story of the game. Now, here's my question for you guys. Everybody's going to talk about today how, well, the Warriors still won with Klay and Steph combining for 20. Boomer Esiason put it in a Sports Minute, a CBS Sports Minute. Well, I know they're capable of doing more, so if they won like that, oh my God. But here's what I would pose to you guys. I don't think it was just some random coincidence that the Warriors won despite them. I think Tyronn Lue and the Cavs' game plan was cut off the heads of the snake mm-hmm. as best you can. They focused their defense completely around Steph and Klay. They shut them down as well as you can, and the Warriors' bench came through. I don't know that I have any. The question is, can they win 3 more games like this, or was the bet? I don't think it was a coincidence. I don't think they just had a bad night. I think the Cavs sold out to shut them down and said, the bench is going to have to beat us, and the bench beat them.
I agree. And you say 45-10 is the difference there. We know the Warriors' bench is better, but do you see that happening every night? So as long as you're going to make the argument, Steph and Klay aren't going to be that bad the whole series, I would go just as quick to say the Warriors' bench won't be this dominant during that series. They can be very good, but 45-10 is a different level of dominance.
Yes. And I would rather, if I'm Cleveland, I would rather bet on...
You live with that, right?
Yes. I would rather say, let's see if that bench can do that again in game 2.
You go plus 35 for 3 more games, let's see.
Then the title is yours.
Mm-hmm.
If you can come into Cleveland and do that, the title is yours. I would place my bet on that rather than guard everybody individually, not focus on any one person, and that's where Steph and or Klay are going to pop 30, 40 points on you. So I don't know that Cleveland's game plan was all that bad. I just think the Warriors were better off the bench.
Yeah, they Cleveland had a great two-step game plan, and they just needed a third step to it. I don't think that they had the answer for Steph and Klay. They weren't sure what to do with Livingston. They didn't really have a game plan for that bench, and I think that's where they kind of got back to the guarding everyone individually, trying to do the team thing. Now that they have time to adjust, I can see them say, all right, we got the Steph and Klay thing down. Mm-hmm. Now let's focus on the bench, whittle that down, and we can start winning some games.
We'll go around the world of sports when we come back. Top of the hour, we're going to react or overreact to a bunch of this stuff. We'll start inviting you in at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We've got Dana White on Ronda Rousey. We have Adrian Wojnarowski talking about Kevin Durant's future. But above all that, hey, would you like to hear from Carson Wentz and Sam Bradford?
Sure.
When don't you? We'll do that next. It's a drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Friday. I'll be honest, I hope it's also a flashback Saturday. Joint KHDK tomorrow at the Draft Inside Arena Softball, 8288 Industrial Avenue in Roseville. Why do I hope it's flashback? Because about 36 hours from now, the main card at UFC 199 will begin. Luke Rockhold, Michael Bisping, the co-main event, but the one we care about, Uriah Faber and Dominic Cruz. Their third fight, 1-1. And Faber's, I believe, 6th attempt at a UFC belt. He's held a King of the Cage, WEC, has yet to get that UFC belt. Hopefully able to bring it home this weekend. I think he just turned 36 or 37.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Hey, he doesn't look it. I'll take that body at 36. I forgive me for not being able to keep up with your UFC schedule, but you're going to this one?
Yes.
Are you traveling to this
I'll
one?
I'll be there. I'll be there tomorrow. But if you're not going, you can go to Arena Softball, 8288 Industrial Avenue in Roseville. Great food and drink specials. Also free batting cages and field play, all for a $10 cover. For more info, please visit arenasoftball.com. Yep, take off tomorrow. Come back Sunday. Just a quick jaunt down to the Forum in Inglewood, of all places. Not Staples. It's Inglewood, former home of the Los Angeles Lakers. Apparently, they've redone
it. That's pretty cool. You're going to do a fight at the Forum, dude.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I mean, I don't care if it was cooler 30 years ago. It still sounds rad.
It's kind of a flashback Saturday. Then
it
you're
is,
right.
Huh?
Going back to the Forum, when they said it was in L.A., you know, most fights are in Vegas. So when they said it was in L.A., I said, okay, that's cool. Staples, that's a big venue. Wow, good card. And then they said it was at the Forum. Like, what? At the Forum? That's a mistake.
How many? You know, in order to achieve a level of single-namedness,
sure.
Like at least as an individual, right? You've got like Pele, Madonna.
Madonna, Prince.
Jesus.
MJ.
Prince.
Right. Yeah.
Right, like, okay.
Jesus.
you know, all those kind of famous single-name type of... So for venues and stuff like that, I mean, you've got the Forum, you got the Garden, which could either be Boston or New York.
Fenway.
Okay.
Right? Fenway?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to...
Wrigley?
Figure out if that counts, if like you're just using the first.
Okay, so you're saying like the actual. Okay, so
right,
you've got
you
the Garden,
the
Forum.
Forum.
Yeah, you're not going to, like, if I say the stadium, that doesn't mean it. The arena. Yeah, that's true. The
but
Forum.
The Garden narrows it down to one of two places,
sure.
And the Forum is only one.
The Forum is only one. I'm trying to think. Stadium, arena, the park, the.
the dome.
Yeah, I think that's it. Someone will text in. There's one
There's
more.
There's got to be something. But...
Another thing, too, it is Flashback Friday. Every day is a day. Shocker. Hey, this just
They all end in Y.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Every day is a national day. National whatever the hell day. Mm-hmm. National beard day. National buzz cut day, whatever. Today is a... There's a couple different things going on. It's National... National Chocolate Macaroon Day.
That's pretty specific.
It follows closely behind National Macaroon Day, which was celebrated, as you know, May 31st.
Right.
So there's that. But this actually means something.
31 macaroons on the 31st of May.
Today is National Donut Day.
Okay.
It's National Donut Day, everyone. Each year on the first Friday in June, people participate in National Donut Day. The day celebrates a donut and honors the Salvation Army lassies, the women that served donuts to soldiers during World War I.
They call them lassies?
Lassies. Well, because lasses, like Ireland, I think. I don't think they're calling them like the dog.
I get it, man.
Well, I mean, back then, well, that was like dames was okay. Broads.
Broads.
Lassies. I don't think lassie was around yet.
The Salvation Army broads that handed out the macaroons.
Yeah, I don't think that's what happened. So there's actually a story behind it. They handed out donuts in World War I, and the lassies went to the front lines of Europe. The donuts were often cooked in oil inside the metal helmets of American soldiers. American infantry men were then commonly called doughboys.
What?
A more standard. Yeah, so
I had no idea.
That's where doughboy, I guess, came. What I'd like for them to do on National Donut Day is come up with a spelling.
Yeah, let's agree on. Mm-hmm.
Can we all agree that it's D-O-N-U-T?
Yeah, I think we should.
Isn't that what we want? I understand dough technically is D-O-U-G-H.
Right, but this is not Elizabethan England. We don't need to do the whole deal.
No.
Just D-O-N-U-T.
That's it.
Do nut.
That don't, yes.
Do not spell it any other way.
No,
do not
thank
spell
you.
It any
that
other
is absolutely. We don't need that. It's like some people still are holding on to two things that have long gone. Some people still spell cookie with a Y at the end, which is technically an acceptable spelling. Yes, cookie. C-O-O-K-Y. And some people still write in cursive and use that thing that looks like a 2 for the capital Q. Now, were you taught cursive in school, Big Time?
Oh, Lord.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't even remember what the...
It looks like a 2, but it's a Q. That's how you're technically supposed to write a capital Q in cursive. And people, there's some people... No. You write the dumbass Q, and then you make the tail connect to the rest of your cursive word. You want to hear about Chad Ochocinco's dong?
Sure. Dong's at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Well, it's 6:56 before the kids get in the car here. Chad Ochocinco showed off his abs a couple of days ago, claiming his chest is a full C cup. He shared a close-up video of his rock-hard abs to Instagram with the caption, 2 months of McDonald's
up, baby?
Before each workout, saying, quote, my chest bigger than my girl chest right now. Don't let him tell you you can't eat no McDonald's. The 38-year-old...
Price and participation may vary. Most locations open at 5 a.m. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
And home of the McCafe.
Yeah, and the, yeah. Yeah, 100% Arabica bean coffee.
The 38-year-old former wide receiver then added a much more personal detail. And turn down your radio, please, if you have sensitive ears. I'll give you a spoiler alert, but I'm just reading the quote. Quote, only thing wrong with me is downstairs. I ain't nothing but 3 inches.
Is that bad?
I don't know. He continued, there's Jay with break time.
He's like, get out of here.
He continued by saying, but that's all right, though. I'm not worried about that because my personality make up for it.
Attaboy. Speak up for all of us.
National Donut Day.
See, I think he's just stereotyping his fellow Irish Americans.
Is that what it is?
Oh, Chocinco.
Wouldn't it be Chad Trecinco now? No, that'd still be 35. let's see. From the 916, thanks. I'm going to go buy some donuts since they don't have school. You know, I bring in donuts every Friday, and it happens to be National Donut Day. I bring in donuts every single Friday, usually, that I can remember for people to donut around.
Now, you've made it through a dozen of Krispy Kremes in one sitting, right?
Never.
Really?
I can't eat a lot in one sitting. Even though I'm a fat guy, I can't. I eat many meals throughout the day.
Well, I mean, I do too. I just, you know, I've powered through a dozen Krispy Kremes, that's all.
Although I do enjoy a Krispy
Kreme.
There used to be one right down the street. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Game one, NBA Finals in the books. React, overreact, your choice. We have some subjects for you to help us with next. It's The Drive with Dave and Nady, because Kate is gone right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.